Fiat. October 7th, 1934. Reciprocal love between God and the creature. Exchange of action. Labyrinth of love in which one who lives in the divine fiat is placed. God, the sower in the field of souls. I am under the eternal waves of the divine fiat, and my poor mind feels its sweet enchantment, its power and operative virtue, which, investing me, makes me do what it does. It seems to me that with its sigh of light, it gives life and gives rise to everything, and with its empire, it rules over everything. He keeps everything into account. Not a single breath escapes it. It gives everything and wants everything, but with such love as to seem incredible. And what is most stupefying is that it wants the creature to know what it does, so as to have her inseparable with itself, and let her do what the divine will itself does. I remained enchanted, and my littleness felt lost. If it wasn't for Jesus, who stirred me by making me his little visit, I would have remained there, who knows for how long. Then, all goodness and love, he told me, "My good daughter, do not be surprised. Everything is possible for one who lives in my will. There is reciprocal love from both sides, God and the creature, but so great that the human littleness reaches the point of making the acts of God her own. And as her own, she loves them so much that she would lay down her life in order to defend, love, and give all the glory, the first place of honor, to one alone of these divine acts. God, in exchange, makes the acts of the creature his own. He finds his very self in these acts, the display of his love, the height of his sanctity, and oh, how he loves them. And in this reciprocal love, they love each other so much as to remain imprisoned, one within the other. But a voluntary imprisonment, such that while it renders them inseparable, they feel happy that God feels loved and finds his place inside the creature, and she feels loved by God and holds her own place within the Supreme Being. There is no greater happiness for the creature than to be able to say, and be certain of it, that she is loved by God. And there is no greater happiness for us than to be loved by the one who was created by us, and only to love us and to fulfill our will. Now, while the creature is found within her Creator, she would want everyone to love him, to recognize him, and by virtue of the divine fiat by which she is animated, she wants to give rise and recall all the acts of creatures within God, so as to be able to say to him, "I give you everything, and I love you for all." Hence, together with the divine volition, she makes herself thought for each intelligence, gaze for each eye, word for each voice, heartbeat for each heart, motion for each work, step for each foot. What does one who lives in my will not want to give me? Everything and everyone. Therefore she says to my will, "I feel the need to possess your love, your power, to be able to have a love that says to you, 'I love you for all.'" So, our will lets us find in her the love and the requital of all the acts of creatures. Oh, my will, what power you cast the soul into, and into what a labyrinth of love the one who lives in you. It is such and so great that the human littleness feels drowned with love. And as a refreshment, she feels the need to trace everyone, to speak her continuous refrain, I love you, I love you, as the outpouring of the great love that my divine will gives her. This is life of ours, all of love, our history woven ab eterno, all of love. And so must be one who lives in our will. There is to be such accord between her and us as to form one single act and one single love. Now, my blessed daughter, I want to let you know how we love the creatures and our continuous outpourings of love that we pour upon them. Our first act of our happiness is love and to give love. If we do not give love, we lack the breath, the motion, and the nourishment for our supreme being. If we do not give love, and it is by deeds that we love, we would stop the course of our divine life, which cannot be. Here is why our devices, our industriousness, our stratagems of love are innumerable. And a love not only by words, but by deeds, and operating works without ever ceasing. Now, just as in creation, we created a sun which, with its operating light and heat, gives light to all, transforms the face of the earth, and keeps scattering in each plant color in some, fragrance in others, sweetness in some. There is nothing into which the sun does not cast its effect, almost like seed of maturation, so as to render all plants apt to nourishing man and giving him pleasure with many tastes, almost innumerable. In the same way, our Supreme Being, reserving for himself the noblest part of man, which is the soul. More than sun, we are fixed upon her interior. We dart through it. We mold it. And as we touch it, more than solar light, we cast the seed of the thought into the intellect, the seed of the remembrance of us into her memory, the seed of our will into hers, the seed of the word into her voice, the seed of the motion into her works, the seed of our love into her heart, and so with all the rest. Now, if man is attentive to us, working the field of his soul together with us, as we never withdraw our divine son, day and night, more than tender mother, we remain upon him, now nourishing him, now warming him, now defending him, now working together and covering him and hiding him in our love. We will then make a beautiful harvest, which will serve him to feed himself of us, and sing the praises of our love, of our power and infinite wisdom. Well, if he is not attentive to us, our divine seed remains suffocated, without producing the good it possesses. Man remains on an empty stomach, without the divine nourishments, and we remain empty of his love. How painful it is to sow without reaping. But in spite of this, our love is so great that we do not give up. We continue to dart through him, to warm him, almost like a sun that never tires of spreading its coat of light, even if it finds no plants or flowers in which to cast the seed of its effects. Oh, how much more good the sun could do if it did not find so many sterile lands, stony and abandoned by man. The same for us. If we found more souls who would pay attention to us, we would give so many goods as to transform the creatures into living saints and faithful copies of us. But in our divine will, there is no danger that man would not receive our daily sowing, or that he would not work together with his Creator in the field of his soul. Therefore, always, in my fiat, do I want you. Nor should you give a thought to anything else. In this way, we will make a beautiful harvest, and you and I will have abundant nourishments, such as to be able to provide for others, and we will be happy of one single happiness.